Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Get to Know Your Customers Day, Tone. What would you like to know about our viewers?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Don't you people have anything better to do? I mean, really, how many years are you going to watch this junk? Enough.
Hopefully a little bit longer. Hopefully.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Astros roll over the Red Sox. Bob Huggins wants to cut the Cinderellas out of the NCAA tournament. And Charles Barkley graces us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the Los Angeles Dodgers getting rocked at home last night by the Atlanta Braves 9-2. Julio Urias gave up back-to-back homers in the second inning and another in the third. Atlanta now takes what feels like an insurmountable 3-1 lead in the series. Wilbon, yesterday on this show, you said you were 100% certain that Dodgers would win this series. Are you still at 100%?
Yeah, I think I got to come in at a little less than 100% today. This is one of the, if we go back through the 20 years and list the dumb things I have said, we each have our own list. This is right up there with Trey Young is going to be maybe at best a rotation player. This is really stupid. And Tony, I actually felt that. I felt the Dodgers could come back if they'd lost game 3 from 3-0. And all I got to feel today is that the Dodgers should probably be out already. They probably should have been swept out. How can you be certain? You know, Tony, and what they didn't look, the reason why I felt that way in game 3, during game 3 when they were losing before the home run, before the heroics, they had energy. It looked like they were determined. Like they knew. They had swag in that dugout. They're popping each other, pumping each other, hitting each other. They thought they could come back. Last night, I looked at them and just thought, oh, my God, they just look lethargic. Like they used up all the energy in game 3. And so when I was at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena last night, and I find out it's 4-0 and just go, oh, no, this is not good.
Yeah, I was watching the game. You know, I'm rarely right on predictions, but I did say yesterday I wouldn't be confident just yet. I'd be confident if they won game 4 with Urias, who's the only guy in baseball to have 20 wins. Well, he got hit very, very hard. Not only lost that game, they lost Justin Turner. So now they have, with a hamstring problem, they have no Justin Turner. They have no Max Muncy, who I believe are their two biggest power hitters. They got a bullpen game tonight. You know, and even if they win this, they then have to go to Atlanta for 2. I don't know. I root for them, but it just – and I know they beat them last year. I know they were down 3-1 last year, and they beat them last year. But the Braves, I think in their last 62 games, Mike, they're 42-20. They are a hotter team right now. And they come into this series like the Dodgers had an elimination game with the Cardinals. And 2 elimination games with the Giants.
Yeah, this is their fourth one.
And yet the other team, Atlanta, comes in, they cruise past Milwaukee, and they set up their pitching. It just looks like Atlanta to me. It does.
It does look like Atlanta. I have to admit that. I just want to have a do-over. A mulligan, please. Over in the American League, the Astros are 1 win away from finishing off the Red Sox. Houston starter Framber Valdez went 8 innings last night, gave up just 1 run in the 9-1 win. Boston had been so hot earlier in the series, but managed only 3 hits for the entire game. Tony, are you crediting Valdez or blaming the Red Sox bats?
I think if I answer this question correctly, I take care of both of those issues. I think if you credit Valdez, you explain why Boston has bad bats. The guy goes, as you said, he goes 8 innings. He gives up 1 run, a homer. That was meaningless. They were so far up at that point. I loved watching him between innings sit by himself and meditate. I thought maybe I could do that in my attic while you were talking. I could just close my eyes and meditate. It looked pretty good. You have to, when you consider what's happened in this series to this point, right? In the previous 4 games, the Astros starters went a total of 6 2/3 innings and allowed 14 earned. He went 8 and allowed 1. You have to credit the pitcher. And he's apparently the only pitcher on the club, you know, that's not tipping his pitches. He's the one.
Well, one of these things that I got right earlier, maybe it was even last week and you got wrong, was I said to you, you know, you said, oh, these bats are so hot. I'm like, bats are hot until they're not. Until somebody comes in.
Right.
Managers are so lacking in commitment to starting pitching. And if it's not the managers, then it's the general managers and they're ordering the managers. And so when you see a game like this, Tony, the last person to do this, all right, against the Red Sox in Boston is a guy named Bob Gibson in postseason play. I mean, seriously. But, Tony, there's so few opportunities now to see this because no one's committed. The clubs aren't committed. A guy gives up a single if he's gone four hitless, and it's somebody's going. The manager comes out and goes to the pen. And good for Dusty Baker to walk out there and say, you know, yeah, I walked out here. You're not going anywhere. I'm committed. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Eight innings is good. Look, I favor Houston now. I favored Houston at the beginning of the series because I felt they had something more to play for than Boston, that Boston was happy to be here, and they go home for two. But, and there's always a but, Mike, they went home for two against the Nationals in 2019, and they lost the World Series.
That's right.
In 2018, they got beat four in a row by Boston, and we both love Dusty Baker, but he hasn't closed all that well in postseason. So, but I'm rooting for him. I believe Houston's better.
I am too.
Let's move on. West Virginia basketball coach Bob Huggins said yesterday at Big 12 Media Day that the major basketball schools, like West Virginia, should have their own national tournament and get rid of all the other smaller schools. Huggins said the others can have their own tournament, a let-them-eat-cake position if I have ever heard one. Huggins is probably talking about 60 or 80 schools, but not 300-plus like now. Huggins said, football seems to be doing this. Why shouldn't basketball? Wilbon, are you with Huggins?
No. Not even a little bit, not 1 ounce, not 1 inch. No. If there's anything that doesn't need fixing in college sports, it's the basketball tournament. The NCAA men's basketball tournament doesn't need anything. Not only is it not broken, it's glorious, Tony. I mean, please. So I want to take, say, I'm going to pick someplace close to my home. I'm going to take Loyola Chicago and say, you can't come in. We need more West Virginias. No. And there's a lot of times I'm on the side of Bob Huggins when he takes, kind of difficult positions, tough positions, rebel positions, if you will. I ain't with him at all on this, and I know you're not with him either.
No, I'm not. It's an incredibly elitist position to take. The most democratic thing in basketball is the round of 64. That's what everybody wants to see. And to take this position is crazy. He says it will make a lot of money for schools, big schools. If he wants West Virginia to make more money, let him give back some of his salary. I don't think this would work, Mike. I think it works in football because I don't believe there are more than 20 schools in football that can actually win the national championship. But we've seen Butler, which was a mid-major, go to the finals twice. I mean, that whole Cinderella thing is real. And not only that, in terms of viewers, Mike, in terms of viewers, if you only have, say, 40 big-time schools, the bracketing isn't as much fun. People look for the 5-12. They look for the 4-13. That's the charm
of
the tournament.
It's part of the charm. That's it. That's the excitement. That draws people in.
Yes. Nobody's going to stand with Huggins on
this. Huggy Bear.
Nobody. It's not. You're wrong. Huggins, you're wrong. Let's take a break. Coming up, what should the Sixers do with Ben Simmons? We're going to ask Charles Barkley.
And on the week of our 20th anniversary, we'll thank Charles Barkley for being this program's first ever guest. First ever.
Look at that.
Look at that.
We should have more guests. Actually, we should have Charles on three times a week, and then we could leave. And it would be better that way.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
This week marks our 20th anniversary on the air, and to celebrate, we welcome back our first ever guest. From TNT's Inside the NBA, it is our great friend, our fellow member of the Ball Brotherhood, Mr. Charles Barkley.
Chuck! Yeah!
Look at that, Chuck. Look at that. You got cheers. Let's start in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons came back to the Sixers facility, said he had back tightness, left without participating in his scheduled individual workout. It's now being reported that he will meet with the Sixers at shoot-around tomorrow, which may or may not happen. What should the 76ers do with Ben Simmons?
Well, they've screwed this thing up from the beginning, Tony. They got to trade Ben Simmons. Number one, he's not talking to his teammates. And listen, one thing I know about Philadelphia, those fans are not going to forgive him. It's time for Ben Simmons to move on. The Sixers, they made a mistake anyway, suspended him for one day. They should have suspended him for 5 days. The notion that he was going to be, everything was going to be great in 24 hours, that was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. If they were going to make that decision to take him away from the team, they should have gave him a 3-game or a 5-game suspension. But suspending him for one day, that was just stupid.
Let's zero in on this Philly portion for a second, Charles. You have lived a great majority of your life now in greater Philly. You know the city as well as anybody. Jason Kelce said of Philly fans, everybody can bitch and complain about how tough the city is to play in. Just play better, man. The city will love you. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's more complex than that?
No, I think if Ben had a came in, they would have given him a second chance. I truly believe that. If he had a came into this training camp and said, hey, you know what? I was mad. I did not play great. I got to get better as a player. And he had owned his flaws. But once he came back and he's practicing with a cell phone in his pocket and he's not talking to his teammates, it was over. I think if he had came in and busted his behind, I think Philly would have given him a second chance. But I believe now it's over. There's no way he can go back in that building and those fans are going to be supportive.
Charles, we'll broaden it out a little bit and ask you about some other stuff around the league. And we'll start, of course, with the Lakers. I after watching that initial game, and I don't want to overreact to any one game, but I started thinking that Russell Westbrook, start and finish, yes, but in the middle, play with the second unit with Carmelo and all those guys so that he can still be Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, so that he can still be Russell Westbrook in the middle. Do you see any value in that, or you think I've lost my mind?
I think you are 100% correct. I've actually said that the other night. I said he needs to play more with the second unit. Listen, if he plays with the first unit, they're going to run all the plays for AD and LeBron, rightfully so. And Russ, he was so passive, and that's not even in his personality. The one thing I admire and love about Russell Westbrook, he gives maximum effort all the time. Watching him play Tuesday, he was deferring. And that's just not his game. You play Rondo more with the first unit because he's more of a pure point guard. Put Russ out there with Carmelo, Dwight Howard, Ariza, guys who can get up and down the floor. I think it'll help their second unit. And I think you're 100% correct.
All right, see, I'm glad to know, Tony, I'm on the right side when I'm on the same side. is Chuck.
Every
Charles,
once in a while, Wilbon.
There's
every
so much. There's so right. many good teams, more good teams than usual. Usually, we look at talking about four or five teams. Now, there's a lot of teams out there that on a given night can beat anybody. But out of those teams, is there anybody outside the glamour teams that you are particularly interested in as we start this season?
Mike, I'm going to make your heart flutter with joy. The Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Chicago. Hey, I really love what those guys did in Chicago. They got off to a great start beating a Piston team last night on the road. I always tell people there are no easy games. See, people, one thing they don't understand about sports, when the season first starts, there are no easy games. I tell people, teams don't know they suck until 10, 15, 20 games into the season. Everybody's excited to start the season. Everybody's engaged. Everybody's healthy and ready. But you don't realize, in every sport, you don't realize you got a bad team until one-third in. So them going into Detroit winning last night, so my surprise team, and I don't even know if surprise, the Chicago Bulls are a team I think people should pay attention to.
Take that, Tony. Take
you have
that.
You have made Wilbon so happy. First, you agreed with him on Russell Westbrook, and now you're telling him the Bulls are going to be good.
Yeah,
shame on you for doing that. Yeah. I'm going to get you out of here on this. 20 years ago, you were our first guest. We had a telephone conversation with you. You said we would be crazy not to do this show. I'm asking you to admit that deep down you agreed with me and you felt that in 3 weeks we would be off the air and out in the street.
Let me tell you something. I knew you guys were going to be great. I've told you many times, y'all are my favorite show. I like the fact that we flip-flop Emmys. So that means we're both doing really, really well. Listen, you guys are both smart. You guys are both funny. But the thing I love about y'all the most, and I'm not just being a blowhard, we got too many guys on television who are looking for quick takes to try to inflame and get clickbait. I tell people all the time, you guys, I never have to worry about you guys having a hidden agenda. You got it. Even if I might disagree with you, there's never a hidden agenda. And I think that's what make y'all show great.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck. We appreciate
thank you,
it,
thank
man.
You, thank you.
Thanks so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
20 years.
Thank you.
Lord.
You can catch more of Charles tonight on TNT's Inside the NBA, featuring the Mavs and Hawks and the Clippers and Warriors, and they will reveal the final 25 of the NBA's top 75. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Giants coach Joe Judge details his responsibility for the team's sorry start.
And will the Case Keenum-led Browns beat the Broncos tonight? I don't know, Tony, because I'm watching basketball and I'm watching Inside the NBA tonight. That's what I'm watching.
We flip-flop Emmys in the sense that we have two or three and he has 10 or 15.
Charles has like nine.
And in that sense,
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 38th birthday, Zach Greinke. Greinke has the second most wins of any active pitcher, 219. The one pitcher with more is his Houston teammate, Justin Verlander, with 226. This could be it for Greinke. In the last month or so, he has pitched only 13 and two-thirds innings, and he's given up 6 home runs. The other night in Game 4 of the ALCS, Greinke lasted only an inning and a third against Boston. He gave up 2 runs and 3 walks. If Greinke leaves the stage, he will do so with a Cy Young, 6 gold gloves, and $317 million in earnings. Wilbon, you have Adam Wainwright in the Hall of Fame, so I assume you have Greinke in as well?
Well, Tony, certainly serious consideration. I mean, look, Tony, the art of pitching is now just being sort of dismissed. I mean, it's being slapped down. Yeah, we'll have a bullpen night in the World Series. Yeah, right ahead. Wainwright, Greinke, I'm fine. Both of them, I think Wainwright's a lock. He would have my vote for sure. I got to study Greinke some more, but serious consideration, yes. Wainwright, a lock, yes.
Am I crazy? Greinke, I think, has like 30 or 40 more wins than Wainwright.
Well, we're talking win percentage. Again, Tony, I'm fine with them both being in. I know Wainwright's work better because that's my division. You know, the National League Central. Right. I'm more familiar with him. Both of them in the Hall of Fame.
A not so happy anniversary, Sam Darnold. On this day 2 years ago, the 3rd overall pick had a nightmare start for the Jets. Darnold went 11 for 32 with 4 interceptions in a 33-0 loss to New England. And Monday Night Football microphones broadcast Darnold telling someone on the sidelines he was, quote, seeing ghosts. Darnold was dumped by the Jets earlier this year and traded to Carolina. He started off fast, winning his first 3 games and throwing only 1 interception. But he and the Panthers have bottomed out. They've lost their last 3 games, and Darnold has thrown 6 more picks.
You know, Tony, I think it's actually easier to find or develop a great quarterback than it is to develop a great starting pitcher. For one, organizations are committed to quarterbacks more than they're committed to any position in North American sports. Pitchers, starting pitchers, not so much. So I don't know. Sam Darnold's going to get, he's going to get the requisite opportunities and chances to get to be really good at some point. Don't know if it's in him, but he's going to get the chance.
Happy trails to Coastal Carolina's regular season winning streak. The undefeated and 14th-ranked Chanticleers hadn't lost a regular season game since November of 2019 until Appalachian State dumped them last night 30-27 on a field goal at the buzzer. App State is no stranger to upsets. They have the greatest one ever in college football. Going into the Big House in 2007 as a 1AA team and beating number 7 Michigan, App State quarterback Chase Bryce, who previously played at Clemson and Duke, threw for 347 yards and totaled 4 touchdowns. Coastal Carolina's top-ranked offense had to punt on its final 3 possessions.
Tony, that App State upset, that's a greater upset than Shaman and I beating Virginia in basketball, isn't it?
It is.
To go to the Big House do that? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's go to the big finish. Giants head coach Joe Judge blamed himself for the team's 1-5 start. Do you agree?
Well, he's pretty persuasive when he says, quote, the fish stinks from the head down. I don't know how you're supposed to go any other direction. The Colts lost safety Julian Blackman for the season to a torn Achilles. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, when you lose a starting safety, it is. And the Colts looked like they were turning the corner last week.
They did.
I don't think so now. 6 schools officially accepted their invitations to join the American Athletic Conference. Is that significant?
It is. UAB, Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, and University of Texas, San Antonio. It is a big deal for them and the kids who play there, yes. Tulane is 6-0, 1-5 Tulane at 6-0 and 21st-ranked SMU tonight. You smelling upset?
No. 1-5 going to 6-0? I'm surprised it's only 13.5 points for the number. I'm surprised. No upset. Last one, Broncos at Browns tonight. Who you got?
The Browns are in such disarray. Jarvis Landry activated. I'm going to go with the Brownies, though, Tone, despite the disarray.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better on the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Now here's SportsCenter.
So I'm going to shout out to my high school friend, Lloyd Globerman. He's one of many people, and you've had this too, Mike. They congratulate us on 20 years. Tomorrow's 20 years.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.